The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent. And we welcome also those who are joining us online for our service this morning. We want to say a big word of thanks to those who have decorated our church so beautifully yesterday for Christmas time. And it looks absolutely wonderful this morning. And we look forward later this evening at 7 o'clock to the service of 9 lessons and carols, which is always a beautiful service by candlelight. And we want to encourage you to come along and bring your friends and family, if you can, to that special service this evening also. Just thinking about the week ahead, there will be a service of Holy Communion on Wednesday with prayers for those who are sick. And on Saturday evening, that's Christmas Eve at 11 o'clock, we have the first Holy Communion of Christmas. And next Sunday, which is Christmas Day, there'll be a service of Holy Communion at 9 o'clock and a family service at 10:15 next Sunday. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and each week during Advent we have been lighting our Advent wreath. And today Leo is going to help me to light our fourth candle, and Gillian is going to introduce that for us.
As we light the candles in our Advent wreath, we remember the preparations which God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Our first candle reminds us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Our second candle reminds us of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who told of the coming Messiah. Our third candle reminds us of John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. We remember how Jesus, the Son of God, was born of a human mother, so that he was truly both God and man. The angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Gabriel said to Mary, "The Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God." Mary said, "The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. As we light this fourth candle, we remember Mary, who was obedient and so became the mother of Jesus. Amen.
Our service today is the service of Holy Communion, and we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we stand together. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And our special collect prayer for today, the fourth Sunday of Advent. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Savior, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our first reading.
The Old Testament lesson is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children and young people are going to leave us for Sunday school, and we wish them well as they go out this morning. And we're going to sing together hymn 704, Mary Sang a Song.
Thank you.
God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage. For Christ's sake, amen. Some time ago, Songs of Praise featured a young woman with a very powerful story to tell. Her father had committed suicide when she was quite young, and she had grown up believing he preferred to be dead rather than to be with his family. This had damaged her to such an extent that she had got into all sorts of trouble, finally ending up as a drug addict in prison. Apparently, all she had taken into prison with her was a Bible, as some sort of nostalgic link with happier days. She had never read the Bible and actually believed she was the sort of awful person whom God would instantly throw on the scrap heap. But because time was hanging heavily on her hands, she opened the Bible at random. And this is what she read. "Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." That verse leapt out of the page and hit her between the eyes. She began to read the Bible avidly, devouring what she read, and her life was changed. She's now an evangelist, working amongst dropouts and drug addicts, telling them the good news that they are not rejected by God, that he doesn't throw anyone on the scrap heap. If the birth of Jesus had been left to human beings to arrange, I wonder what we would have come up with. Well, probably a committee to decide on the best parents, then a selection process and a short list until we arrived at the ideal couple. I don't suppose an unmarried mother and her carpenter fiancé would have stood a chance. In many ways, Mary, who we remember especially on this fourth Sunday of Advent, represents much that has been rejected by human beings throughout the ages. She was young, she was unmarried, she was pregnant, and that not even by her fiancé. And at this early stage in the story, Joseph seems to represent the conventional. He was as shocked as anyone else at Mary's pregnancy, and his instant reaction was to ditch her. And that's exactly what good, decent people would have expected. Now, although Joseph was too gentle a person to demand the stoning of Mary, and by the way, that was his right by law, nonetheless, it was his duty to get rid of her. So he decided to quietly divorce her. Now, when you take it at surface value, this story surrounding the birth of Jesus is pretty sordid, isn't it? But that's because the God ingredient has been left out. Once the God ingredient is added to the story, everything changes. The circumstances are seen in a completely different light. And Mary, far from being the villain of the piece, is seen as the heroine. Once the God ingredient is added, there's a total change in perceptions. But I wonder how many people at the time were aware of the change in perceptions. Fortunately, Joseph, although a righteous man, was also a man who was open to God. He could hear God above the roaring of conventions, and so was able to respond when God suggested he move in an unconventional direction. After his dream about the angel, Joseph was sure enough in his own mind to continue his relationship with Mary. Nothing in the circumstances had changed, only Joseph's perceptions. But on the strength of a dream, he was prepared to accept a wife who, on the face of things, may have been unfaithful to him. He was willing to bring up a baby who, on the face of things, might have been another man's child. This unconventional couple are very unlikely to have been chosen by the church to be the parents of the Savior of the world. But the fact is, God often chooses unlikely people to work for him. You'll remember that back in the days of the Old Testament, he chose Joseph, the arrogant and insensitive teller of dreams. Then there was Jacob, who cheated his own brother by deceiving his own father. Moses, who killed a man in anger and then ran away. And even David, the greatest king of all time, had a man killed in order to sleep with that man's wife. So the pages of the Bible are littered with people chosen by God, but who are most unlikely ever to have been considered by human beings, and especially not by the church. And of course, it doesn't stop with the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus chose a most unlikely group of people to be his special friends and to carry the message of Christianity throughout the world. Many of them were virtually uneducated. At least one of them was a fanatic terrorist. Another turned out to be a traitor. They were all cowards. And one particular friend was probably a prostitute. And after the death and resurrection of Jesus, it wasn't so much these friends who carried the message of Christianity to the rest of the world. No, God chose a newcomer, a man who had a reputation as being rigorous in his persecution of Christians, Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul. The people chosen by God to carry on his work seem most unlikely. So clearly, the selection criteria used by God are totally different to the selection criteria used by human beings. Somehow, God is able to see the potential within human beings long before it has been realized, and to work with that potential. I'm sure you would agree that human beings would find that approach far too risky. Most are looking for proven qualities before they select. Many people are rejected because they don't yet have those proven qualities. For example, many young people are rejected for jobs because the employers are looking for experienced applicants. The employers don't care about potential because nurturing potential is a difficult and time-consuming task. Now, fortunately for us, God was able to see the potential for good parenting within an unmarried mother and her carpenter fiancé, and was prepared to invest time and energy in nurturing that potential. At that early stage, Mary and Joseph had no proven qualities, but both of them were open to God. And it seems that that's all that really mattered. They were open to God. God never rejects anyone. He uses the most unlikely people for his purposes and works with them and through them so that their potential is realized and they change out of all recognition. You know, it can be very scary being used by God, for he sometimes asks of us difficult things. But anyone who is prepared to face the scariness, anyone who wants to be used by God, only has to open their heart and mind and soul to him. God knows their potential, and he will do the rest. All we human beings have to do is to trust him and to dare to follow him. I wonder, are we prepared to do that? Let us pray. Lord God, you may not ask of us what you asked of Mary and Joseph, but your challenge comes nonetheless, calling us to avenues of service that we would never imagine possible. Whoever we are, we all have a part to play in your purpose. Grant us the humility we need to hear your voice and the faith we need to respond. Like Mary and Joseph, let each of us, without fear, be ready to answer when you call. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for the nations of the world. As we approach Christmas, we pray for peace. Give peace to the victims of war, to the refugees, to the orphans. Your Son came as the Prince of Peace and brought a message of peace for all people. Help us to be peacemakers in our own land, in our homes, at our work, or wherever we meet people, so that the peace and goodwill of Christmas can find a place in the hearts of all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, in you is our peace and our hope. We bring into your presence now those who are struggling in any way, especially at this Christmas time. Those who are suffering from strained and broken relationships, all caught up in drugs or vice. May they be given the chance of a new direction. We pray too for friends and loved ones who are ill at this time, either at home, in residential care, or in hospital. We pray for the bereaved in recent days, and in particular, the families of the four boys who lost their lives in the ice tragedy in Solihull. Be very present with them and surround them with your love, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a moment of quietness, let us bring our own prayer to God, those people and those situations on our hearts and minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We're going to join together to sing the hymn 419, "I Am Not Worthy, Holy Lord." Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying, you destroyed our death.
Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words." The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We make many our one body.
Father, you have given us a pledge of eternal redemption. Grant that we may always eagerly celebrate the saving mystery of the incarnation of your Son. We ask this through him whose coming is certain, whose day draws near. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. And as we seek in our own lives to make that response that Mary and Joseph made to the invitation that they were given, we sing together our closing hymn, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel."